James chapter 1 verse 18 and 1 John chapter 3 verse 9. Because of time, let's just look at John 1, 12 to 13. I'm not going to read all these scriptures I just mentioned, but you can go back home and reference that because I think I have quite a lot. And I will just try as much as the time given to me to do justice to this. So I will read out some scriptures, but you do take home and check it up yourself if you are interested. John chapter 1 from verse number 12 to 13. But as many as received him, to them he gave he power to become what? The sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Next verse. Which were what? Which were what? Born. Born again. Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of what? Of God. Let's just look at 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Whosoever is born of God, you see the word again there, born of God, born again, born twice, doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. Why? Tell me. Shout it loud. Because he is born of God. Let's go back to our main test. And that test, we'll be looking at it again and again and again. So if media can just help me mark it down, that will be great. Praise the Lord. If you look at, the conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus, you will see quite a number of things that is ingrained there. You will see Jesus trying to tell Nicodemus that this experience is not a matter of choice. Tell somebody it's not a matter of choice. In that place, in verse number 7, say, marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be what? Born again. But Nicodemus, in his responses, was bewildered. Nicodemus was confused. And he says, how can a man be born? Will he enter into his mother's womb the second time? And Jesus have some responses for him, telling him, it's not by power, it's not by might. There Jesus Christ clearly tells us of the imperative, the work of the Holy Spirit in the matter of, conversion, in the matter of being born twice and being born again. As a result of this, I will be sharing with you briefly under 5 major subheadings. 5. First and foremost, we'll be looking at the meaning of being born twice. Secondly, to Nicodemus, it was a mystery. How can? Is it possible? We'll be looking at the mystery of being born twice. Thirdly, we will look at the message in the mystery of being born twice. Then number 4, so that if you are one of those that have deluded yourself, you will know. We will look at the misconception of being born twice. Lastly, just like I mentioned to you, we would look at the mandatory experience of being born twice. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. So let me just try to explain what it means to be born again. You will see in John chapter 3, which is our main test, Jesus Christ trying to explain to Nicodemus from verse number 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, take note of that, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 6 is key to the next verse I will read. It says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is what? It's spirit. Being born again is a spiritual thing. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 47 to 50. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, from verse 47 to 50. When we are born into this world, we are born of the flesh. As we are here, and every other person that will be born after us are born after the flesh, and that is heartily. Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 from verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord, from where? From heaven. The next verse. And as the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are also they that are heavenly. Next verse. And as we are born the image of the earthy, which is the flesh, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Next verse. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood, as you are without the experience of the new birth, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither corruption inherit what? Incorruption. Praise the Lord. Brethren, whereas the first birth that brought us all into this world is a natural birth, simply called the fleshly birth. The second birth, now called born again or born twice, is a spiritual birth. Praise the Lord. So what does it mean to be born again? It is a spiritual birth. It's largely the work of the Spirit. John chapter 3 verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is what? Is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born of the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. To be born twice means to be born of the Spirit of God. It means to be born again. Praise the Lord. But there are five other meanings you will find all over the scripture that tries to explain the concept, the meaning of being born again to us. And the first one I will share with you is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Very, popular scripture. The Bible says, if any man is in Christ, tell me, he's a new creature. All things are what? Are passed away. Because, behold, all things have become what? New. Brethren, to be born twice is to become a new creature. Again, you see that in Galatians chapter 6, verse 15. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 15. What do we see there? For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. Tell me, a new world creature. If you say you are born again, you are born twice, that means you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. What does it mean to be born twice? It means to become the son of God. It means to become a child of God. John chapter 1, verse number 12. John chapter 1, verse number 12. John 1, 12. What did he tell us? He tells us, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to do what? To become. Tell somebody, become. Shout to somebody, become. The son of God, the child of God. That is what it means to be born again, is to become a child of God, is to become the son of God. You see that again, Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith. How? In Christ Jesus. So what does it mean to be born again? It is first and foremost to be converted and to be a new creature. Secondly, to be born again means to be a child of God, to be the sons and the daughter of God. Praise the Lord. What does it mean to be born again? To be born again means to be called out, to be redeemed. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. It is to be redeemed from the power of sin. It is to be redeemed from the shame and the shackles of darkness. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. So the word here is to be redeemed. You see it again in Isaiah chapter 62 verse 12. What does it mean to be born again? Isaiah chapter 62 verse 12. And they shall call them the holy people. What next? The redeemed. Someone say the redeemed. The redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. Revelation chapter 5, verse number 9. Yes. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast what? Redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So brethren, to be born twice means to be what? To be redeemed. To be redeemed from the power of sin. To be redeemed from the bondage of hell and the bondage of darkness. To be redeemed from the sentence of eternal damnation. That is what it means to be born twice. Praise the Lord. Two more under this subheading. What does it mean to be born twice? Brethren, it means to be turned. Someone say turned. From darkness into light. If you are in sin, you are in darkness. If you are in wickedness, you are in darkness. If you are in malice, you are in darkness. If you are a cheat, you are a liar, you are a fornicator, you are in darkness. But when you are born again, you are turned from darkness into what? Into light. Acts chapter 26, verse 18. Acts chapter 26, verse number 18. What did he tell us? Yes, it's there. To open their eyes and to turn them. Somebody say, turn them. Look at your neighbor, say, today you will be turned. It's to turn them from darkness to what? To light. So, to be born again or to be born twice means to be turned from darkness into what? Into light. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. But ye are what? A chosen generation. A royal priesthood. An holy nation. A peculiar people. That ye should shew forth the praises of him that has called you out of darkness. Did you see that? Called out of darkness into what? Into what? To his marvelous light. So Jesus Christ said, let your light so shine before what? Before men. If you are born again, that means you have been turned from darkness into light. Praise the Lord. Under this subheading, to be born again means to have your name written in the Lamb's book of life. Praise the Lord. Very, very important. When you get that experience, and if you are yet to get it, you will get it this morning. I am certain you will get it this morning in Jesus' name. One standard, unforgettable transaction happens when you get that experience. Your name will be written in the book of life. Jesus Christ sent out his disciples and they came and they were jumping like some other people are always excited about signs and wonders and miracles as if that is what guarantees salvation. No. So, when the disciples returned back and they were jumping, even the devil were subject unto us. Jesus Christ said, hold on there. That is not the most important thing. Luke chapter 10, verse 20. And so Jesus, after all the rejoicing, let's read from verse 19, that helps. I remember from verse 18. Let's see from verse 17, sorry. And the servant returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us. There is nothing wrong with being excited with all the jamboree we do, healing, miracles, signs, and wonder. It's nice, no problem. But that is not the main thing as far as making heaven is concerned. And so they were happy. They came to Jesus. And he said unto them, true, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from where? From heaven. Satan will fall in your life this morning in Jesus' name. Behold, I give unto you what? Power. To tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means what? Hurt you. Notwithstanding. But, that's what that means. Notwithstanding. In this, rejoice not. That you are a demon destroyer. That is nice. No problem. That you are a miracle worker. You heal the sick and all that. No problem. If you want to be excited about that, no issue. But take note. The most important thing that should give you joy is because your name is written in the book of life. As I hear this morning, I ask you, is your name written in the book of life? Are you born again? So let's read on. Verse 20. Notwithstanding, in this, what? Rejoice not. That demons, the spirit, are subject unto you. But rather, rejoice because your names are what? Written. Where? In heaven. You know, we can do a lot of doctrine out of the issue of names being in the book of life. But because of time, Philippians chapter 4 verse 3. Let me allow you to go and look at that one because of time. So I'll go to point number 2. So you know, if they say somebody is born again, or if you are called born twice, you know what that means. I just gave you 5 things there. But right now, let's look at the mystery of being born again. You know the conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus. I told you, we'll make that our standard reference as much as possible. So I need to go back there. John chapter 3. John chapter 3 from verse 3. Let's look at the detail of the conversation. We want to look at the mystery of being born twice. And why did I call it a mystery? You will understand. So that you can desire it. So that you can know it's not what people have been playing around and caricature. So I read, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can? Is it possible? How can I be born again? Look at me, as old as I am, a ruler of the Jews. I didn't even come by day because of the shame. I came in the night. How can I be born again? Can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter? Mystery. Somebody say mystery. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Question. And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee. Jesus made it even difficult for him. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Take note of the word spirit, spirit, spirit. Again, verse number 7. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Even Jesus Christ was telling him, don't be surprised. Why? Because it's a mystery. You cannot understand it, but you have your portion to play. But so that you can understand it, that is why I need to show you a few things. And that is why I'm telling you to take note of a particular reference to the spirit there. Verse number 8. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Confusion. And thou hearest the sound thereof. Look at Jesus' response to Nicodemus, making him more confused. He said, but cannot tell from whence what it cometh. Whither it goeth. He said, so is everyone that is what? Born of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, being born again is a mysterious work of the Holy Ghost. Even from inception, Jesus had to tell Nicodemus, it's not what you are thinking. It's not by prescription, me telling you this and that. It is the work of the Spirit. Do we have other scripture that support this? Of course. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, up to verse number 5. Ephesians chapter 2, up to verse number 5. Many are times, those of us, by the grace of God that have this experience, we may be thinking it's because we have something or that. No, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. Yes, Ephesians chapter 2, from verse 1 to 5. Maybe I'll just read verse 5, verse 1 and 5 because of time. And you at equity. No, before that scripture, let's go to John chapter 6, verse 63. Before that scripture, let's go to John chapter 6, verse 63. What did he tell us? It is the Spirit that what? That quickeneth. The flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are what? They are spirit and they are what? They are life. Being born again is a work of the Spirit. It's the Holy Ghost that does it. If you have that experience, be thankful that you have it. It's not by power, it's not by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Now go to Ephesians, and you will see how it happens. That without that quickening spirit of the Holy Ghost, if you like, shout. If you like, make noise. If you like, prescribe people's sins for them. Except the Holy Ghost quicken, nothing will happen. And you, at what? At quickening. He is quickening somebody now. He is quickening somebody now. He will quicken somebody here today in Jesus' name. He said, you at what? Quickening. Who were dead. Dead. You can't come out of sin. You can't help yourself. Who were dead in trespasses and sin. Go to verse number 5. Go to verse number 5. Yes. Verse 5 says, even when we were dead in sin, what happened? At what? Quickened us together with Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved. It's a mystery. Nobody can explain it. And so Jesus Christ himself knew. He told Nicodemus, don't be surprised. Marvel not that I say unto you that ye must be born again. It is the Holy Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profited nothing. This morning you will encounter the Holy Spirit. Colossians chapter 2 verse 13. Yes, Colossians chapter 2 verse 13. And you, again, look at it. You were dead. If you are here today, you have experienced this being born twice and being born again. I'm here to tell you it's not by your power. It's not by your doing. You can't even explain it. The best you can do is to remember the day it happened like my own. And you being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh at what? Quickened. The word there is what? Quickened. Together with him, having forgiven you all what? Trespasses. Brethren, it is the work of the Holy Spirit. It is a mystery. Nobody can explain it. You cannot explain it. I cannot explain it. And, and that reminds me about 35 years ago. By the grace of God, in the mid-80s, coming back from secondary school with a neighbor, from the same school, a lady, a colleague, we had a small misunderstanding, I think around 1985 particularly. And then, I don't know what happened. She told me, don't talk to me again. That was it. There was nothing I didn't do. Persuaded her, try her, what have I done? Sorry. And I discovered she meant it. And we go to the same school, neighbor, my compound, their compound. Down there in Lagos, don't talk to me again. When I tried that initial time and she wouldn't budge, I allowed her be. And then we started malice. Somebody say malice. I'm sharing my experience with you. We started malice. And so, A year later, I think she tried to reconcile. I said, Mbao. When the new year comes, December crossing to New Year like this, we'll gather together. She'll come and tell me Happy New Year, thinking we'll start talking. I will put it in another year. We continued malice for 5 years. For 5 years. She made attempt within the year. I said, no. Since you started it, let's continue. But ladies and gentlemen, I have been churchy. I've had messages. I was going to church, receiving the word and all that. Nothing happened. Then just before 1990, I went to the campus where God was already doing his work. Back to my home, the same area where I was with that lady. In my church, former church then, last year, awareness gospel mission. I don't know what came over me. On a December 31st night, I broke down. I cried. I wept. Brethren, that was my conversion. That was how I got born again. Where am I going? That same day, I got converted. December 1989, crossing into the new year. 1st of January 1990. I don't know what came over me. I just discovered that I lost my peace. I lost my peace. What happened? Without ever hearing any message called restitution or whatever, the Holy Spirit heard me by the jugular and told me to go and look for that lady. As at that time, she had packed out of our environment. I have to ask for where she is. 1st of January 1990. I traced her house. I was almost crying. I said, sorry. Apologies. Let's be friends again. Brethren, when I look back, I could not have done that on my own. Praise the Lord. I could not have done that on my own. It was the Holy Spirit that was leading me. It was the Holy Spirit upon my fresh conversion that moved me in 1st of January to go and reconcile with that woman and break down, you know, the wall of malice. Are you here? You are still keeping malice. You come to church. You are in the choir. You say you are born again. You are wasting your time. Praise the Lord. I told you that being born twice is a mysterious experience. Then you now look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And without controversy, look at it there. Without what? Argument. Without much ado, great is the mystery of what? Godliness. God was manifest where? In the flesh. Justified in the spirit and seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into where? Into glory. The word I'm looking at there, is without controversy. Great is the mystery of what? Godliness. And he was breaking it down that God was manifest in the flesh. Who is that God? That leads me to the next point. My next point, the message. Somebody say the message. There is a message. Even though it is a work of the Holy Spirit, there was a foundation that was laid. So there is a message in the mystery, you know, of being born twice. Who is the message? What is the message? Just as we read in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. Who is that God? Go to John chapter 1. He is the message of the mystery of the work of the Holy Spirit when it comes to conversion. John chapter 1. Read for me. John chapter 1, please. I will just jump because of my time. John chapter 1, verse number 1. It said, in the beginning, tell me, was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Verse number 14. I have to jump. And the Word was made flesh. Who is this Word? And dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is this God? Let's read down. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth. Someone say grace and truth. Shout it, grace and truth. Came by Jesus Christ. Jesus is the message in the mystery of what? Being born twice. He is the message, and he spoke that of himself. But I'm here to let you know that Jesus is the enabler of the mystery of salvation. Without him shedding his blood on the cross of Calvary, it would never have happened. The Holy Spirit would not have been able to walk. But Jesus died for us. He shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. You see, Jesus is the message and the focus of the born-again experience. Without Jesus' death, without him shedding his blood on the cross of Calvary, you cannot be here, I cannot be here, and that is why we are here today. Praise the Lord. I tell you, Jesus is the mystery maker. Someone say mystery maker. Jesus is the mystery maker who sacrificed his life for us to be a spiritual new creature. Let's run through a few scriptures. John chapter 3, verse number 16. It says, for God so loved what? The world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Again, Isaiah, talking about Jesus. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Some of us sang about it today. I heard that in part of your song. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. He says, unto us the child is what? Born. Praise the Lord. Unto us a son is what? Given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 2. From verse 5 to 10. Philippians chapter 2, from verse 5 to 10. He reads and it says, we're going to read a long one talking about Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, yes? Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, read on, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. And was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. And this morning, if you are not born again, you will humble yourself. I say you must humble yourself. You will humble yourself to experience the finished work of grace. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Let's read on. Wherefore, God has also highly exalted him, giving him a name which is above every name. Yes, and at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in repentance of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Praise the Lord. I will just stop there for a while and continue. John chapter 1, verse 29. What did he tell us? Talking about Jesus. Now, Jesus is the message in the mystery of being born again. He is the focus. And I can see, yes, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said what? Behold. Someone say, behold. This morning I present unto you the Lamb of God. Behold the salvation of your soul. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2. Yes, it is true. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. Mysterious work of the Spirit of God. But for you, the Bible says, looking unto who? Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Praise the Lord. Brethren, it is in accepting the message that you encounter the Holy Spirit that helps you to be born again. You must understand the message. You must accept the message. You must embrace the message. And the message is Jesus. Someone say, the message is Jesus. Shout it, the message is Jesus. And that's why we are here today. That unto us a son is given. Is it to play with him? Is it to pamper him and grow him? No, it is to accept him as our Lord and Savior. The message is Jesus. And it is accepting Jesus, the message, in the mystery of salvation that you can encounter the experience of the new birth. Without accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you cannot have that experience. You cannot encounter that experience. Whereas some of you may think that here today you have encountered, you have accepted him. And I will show you by the message of Jesus himself what it means to accept him. So I thank God, you know, for yesterday opening night, that our Father in the Lord taught us the common bread, only to understand the difference between the common bread and the uncommon bread. Praise the Lord. There is uncommon key things you must do in accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And that is the message that binds up the work of the Holy Spirit together in the mystery of salvation. Jesus himself preached about it. He never preached without mentioning two things. But before I mention those two things, which marks the fact that you have accepted Jesus, let me show you first from the book of Proverbs. Then I will show you how Jesus himself did it. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. That is what it means to accept Jesus. Yes, Proverbs 28, verse 13. Yes. He that covereth his sins shall prosper. Eh? Maybe I'm not seeing very well. I say, he that covereth his sins shall live long. He that covereth his sins shall not what? Shout it loud. He shall not what? Now there are two things to escape it. But whoso confesseth, one. Secondly, and what? Forsaketh. Forsaketh is repentance. So let's start with that. Look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 8. Matthew chapter 3. Verse number 8. I will just run you through. Time won't permit me to read everything. This is John the Baptist introducing the kingdom of Christ. He said, bring forth therefore what? Fruits. Meet for what? For repentance. Except you forsake, except you repent and have a U-turn from that your wickedness, you are joking. That is what it means to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Matthew chapter 9, verse 13 is a message of repentance. No preaching for salvation is complete without the message of repentance. He said, but go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but what? Sinners. Unto what? Repentance. Somebody shout repentance. That confesseth and what? Forsaketh. Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 2, verse 11. We won't read that because of time. But let's just close out this by Luke chapter 3, verse number 3. Luke 3, 3. And he came unto all the country about Jordan, preaching what? The baptism of repentance. Preacher, what have you been preaching in your church? No matter what you preach, if you don't preach repentance, you are doing nothing. Jesus, the message, his message was the message of what? Repentance. You can come to me, you can be excited with all the signs and the wonders, no problem. But you must repent of your sins. Praise the Lord. The next is confession. In accepting Jesus, two critical things. You repent of your sin, and you confess them. You open your mouth and confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior and confess your sin. Romans chapter 10. Yes, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 10. Let's get ready. First John chapter 1, verse 8 to 9. Yes, Romans chapter 10, from verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Say. Tell somebody, confess. Look at your neighbor, eye to eye, say, confess that sin. Tell your neighbor, confess that sin. Confession brings healing. Confession brings deliverance. Confession brings miracle. Confession brings salvation. He that forsaketh and confesseth shall have mercy. Lastly, under this point, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 to 9. Yes, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 to 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth, somebody say the truth. The truth is not in us. So confession is key. Repentance is key to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Why the Holy Spirit will perform his mystery. Praise the Lord. Now, because of my time, I have two more points. I'll see what can be done. Let's quickly look at the misconception of being born twice. There are about 7 or 8 things I have there. There are a lot of misconception. A lot of people thought, you know, by going to church, they are born again. It's a lie. Praise the Lord. First of all, let me show you 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. It's a quick one, though. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. Now, this is what happens. You are churchy. You go to church, but you still tell lies. You go to church, you behave like a Christian, but you still have boys and girls and deal with what they now call dating. And dating is raw immorality. The Bible says what is happening to you is in, you know, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, having what? A form. Someone say form. A type of godliness. But denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I will just read to you some things that people do and they think they are born again. Don't deceive yourself. So let's quickly look at misconceptions of being born again. You are born again, it's not because you are born into a Christian family. That's not why you are born again. That's number one. If you think because you know your father is a Christian, your mother is a Christian, and peradventure also, you are bearing a Christian name, that does not qualify you for the experience. That does not mean you are born again. Even though you are born to a Christian family and all that, you are a cheat. You are a fighter. You are a liar. How come? Praise the Lord. Again, it's not because you bear Christian name. Those are misconceptions. Bearing Christian name does not assure you of salvation. It does not assure you of the born-again experience. Again, you are born again, it's not because of your association with a church. Are you born again? Have you given your life to Christ? I attend so-so and so-so church. And so what? You attend that church. You have been in that church for 10 years now. But you are living in malice. You are living in immorality. You are a cheat. You are a fighter. You are still dealing in occultism. Even though you go to church, as they say in Yoruba, that, you know, Christianity does not mean they should not partake in sacrifices. Those who understand, understand. Hello. Praise the Lord. It's not by church association. No. Or because you attend the largest church in Nigeria. That's not why you are born again. Misconception of being born again is not because you are close or associated to a man of God. Hello? Judas was close to Jesus. Did Judas make heaven? Did Judas make heaven? So don't delude yourself. Don't deceive yourself. If you like, be closer to the biggest man of God in Nigeria today. If you are not born again, if you don't have this experience, you are going down the drain to hell. Praise the Lord. It is not because you have received a miracle in a crusade. In our times, when we try to do raw evangelism, we meet people and we tell them, are you born again? The next thing you hear is that 4 years ago, when they went somewhere and one man of God preached, they had one sickness in their body. Since that day, the sickness disappeared. And that's how they are born again. Is that true? Hello, is that true? That's a misconception. Irrespective of all the miracles you have received, if you are not born again, you are not born again. If you have not encountered the Holy Spirit and His work through the hearing of the word and through repentance, you are not born again. After all, remember, there were 10 lepers, is it not? 10 lepers came. How many was made whole? How many was made whole? One. So, we are not deceived. 2,000 persons may be coming to church. But preachers and pastors that know their onions know that maybe it's just 500 that are born again. Hello. Tell yourself the truth. It's not being associated with men of God. It's not by receiving miracles and signs and wonder. That's not how you are born again. Brethren, it's not because you are a worker in the church. You are a worker, but you are falsifying documents in your place of work. You get to work by 9:30. You write there 7:30. And you think because you are a worker in the church of God, you are born again, you are wasting your time. Praise the Lord. Am I communicating? You are not born again by any of these things. Don't delude yourself. Misconception about being born again. Today, the assembly, they teach people how to speak in tongues. And they deceive those people. And because they can do ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-me-me-me-me, you ask them, are you born again? They are telling you what? They are born again. Tell somebody it's a lie. Speaking in tongues does not assure you of the kingdom of God. Hello? Am I communicating this morning? This is Christmas morning, and you need to know what it means to be born again. You have been attending church, hearing the word, but there is still sin in your life. You are not born again. You are like King Agrippa. You are almost, but you are not all together. Look at Acts chapter 26, verse 28. That man was preached to. He was preached to. And instead of him to accept fully, he refused. Let's look at it. Acts chapter 26, verse 28. Are you there? Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost... Today we have many almost born again. Almost to be born twice. Almost, but we are not yet there. Am I communicating? That is what few churches today. That man said, almost thou persuaded me to be what? A Christian. But Paul replied him, I would not that thou should almost, but what? All together. To be born again is to all together be what? A Christian. Tell somebody you must be all together a Christian. Totally, completely, no half measure. There's no almost. Forget about all those misconceptions I've read to you finally because of our time. And after that, we would pray. I said we will pray. Under the sound of my voice here and wherever you are, we will pray. And this morning, by the finger of God, by the mysterious working of the Holy Spirit, there will be souls that will be born again in Jesus' name. So we are going to look at the final point. Mandatory experience of being born again. The mandatory experience of being born again. Brothers and sisters, when they say something is mandatory, what does it mean? What does it mean? Eh? That means there's no option. That means you don't have a choice. Even though you are a free will agent, you don't have a choice. It's a mandatory experience. Jesus Christ emphasized that to Nicodemus, even though Nicodemus was confused, and he confused him the more, yet he told him, marvel not that I say unto you, ye must. Look at the Bible. Yes, John chapter 3. Ye must. Yes, John chapter 3. Maybe we should just go to verse 7 to save our time. John chapter 3. Jesus said, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." Praise the Lord. So number one, five reasons why it is mandatory. Five reasons. Number one, because Jesus Christ mandated it. He said it must happen. For you, you know, to enter into the kingdom of God, it is mandatory. Jesus Christ said it's a must, no choice. And so wherever you are, right here, under the sound of my voice, whether you are one of those that have made caricature of the statement before or not, today you will be born again in Jesus' name. Because it is compulsory. When they say something is a must, that means it's what? Compulsory. You must be born twice this morning. Praise the Lord. Number two reason why you must be born again. You see it there. Jesus Christ says, because without that experience, you cannot enter. You will not even smell it. You will not see the kingdom of God. That's number two reasons why you must be born again. Because you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Because you will not see the kingdom of God. You see it in verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot enter, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Verse 5, the same thing. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. No entrance. That's number two reason why it is mandatory. And if you are not entering the kingdom of God, I will soon show you where you will enter. Without being born again. Praise the Lord. Why is the experience mandatory? The experience is mandatory because there are no plausible alternatives. There are no alternatives. Without the blood of Jesus, there are no alternatives. There are no options. Oh yes, many roads lead to market. Isn't that what they say? But don't deceive yourself. Only one road leads to heaven. For I am the way, tell me, the truth, and what? The life. No man enter the kingdom of God except through what? Through me. Praise the Lord. There are no plausible alternative. Acts chapter 4, I need to show you that. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. And then we look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. I will allow you to go and check Acts chapter 10, verse 43 yourself because of my time. Acts chapter 4, verse number 12. I read to you, Acts 4, 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven. There is no other name under heaven among men whereby we must be what? Saved. Praise the Lord! There are no plausible alternatives. That's why it's mandatory that you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Acts chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Sir, please permit me a few more minutes. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 5. Let's just read. I'm rounding up now. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. What's there? For there is only one God. Only one God. And one mediator between God and men. Now, who is that person? Shout it loud. Shout it loud. I don't want to mention names that people are mentioning in the world. But let me tell you, there are no alternatives. It's either Jesus or nothingness. No alternatives. It's a mandatory experience. So that if you don't have it this morning, you cry to him. You come to him and you will have it in Jesus' name. Point number 4, why it is important. It is mandatory because you cannot help yourself. Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 7, verse 24, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of this sin?" You cannot help yourself. You cannot save yourself. If you like, try. Make New Year resolution. We'll soon enter 2026. You go back to the same sin 2 months down the line. You can't help yourself. And you will see that scripture in Romans chapter 7, verse 24. Finally, under this point, before I call for prayers, it is mandatory because without this experience, you will be lost. What did I say? You will be what? Lost. Lost. Forever. Lost in hellfire. Lost in the lake of fire. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 3. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 3. Hebrews chapter 2. Yes, verse 3. Who is helping us? Hebrews 2. How shall we escape? Oh, you cannot escape this, the judgment of God if you reject, you know, Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you are not born of the Spirit, if you are not born twice, if you are not born again, no escape. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Romans chapter 1 from verse 29 to 32. Let's just see verse 32. Verse, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, we can, please go to verse 32 because of our time. What did he say there? He said, and knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of what? Death. Second death. Are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Revelation chapter 20, verse, 15. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. And whosoever was not found. Remember the book of life I mentioned to you? That's it. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life, tell me, was cast into the lake of fire. That's why it's important. It's mandatory that you are born again. Brethren, as I bring this message to the close, being born twice, go back to John 3:2. Nicodemus came to Jesus. Tell somebody, Nicodemus came to Jesus. He came. This morning you will come to Jesus. I want to tell you that Jesus is always ready and available, and the Holy Spirit is here now to do his work. But to experience being born twice, we must come to Jesus. Tell somebody, you must come to Jesus. You must come with all your heart. You must come with all your mind. You must come with all your soul. The last scripture I will take for now, Acts chapter 19, verse 18 to 19. See examples of those that came to Jesus. See what they did. And this morning you are coming. I said you are coming. I say you are coming. I say you are coming. In the name of Jesus, you will come in Jesus' name. And the Bible says, and many that believed, they did what? They came. They came. And confessed and shewed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious heart, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Shall we rise up to pray? Rise up on your feet. You are here this morning. You have not experienced this heavenly call, this heavenly statement, this heavenly appointment. You will experience it in Jesus' name. As you rise up, we're going to have some session of prayers. Stand up on your feet. Talk to God in prayers. You've heard God's word. You have heard God's word. Talk to God in prayers. Are you here? Are you born again? Is your name written in the book of life? Are you here? Are you here? Are you here? My time is fast spent. Talk to God. Talk to God. You have been playing church. You think by being in the workers, you are born again. Examine your life. Examine your life. Examine your life. You think by attending a big church, you are born again. It's not like that. Examine your life. Examine your life. None of those things qualifies you. No, it is not by bearing Christian name. That does not qualify you for the experience. If you don't have it, you don't have it. Brethren, close your eyes. Talk to God in prayers. Talk to God in prayer. The altar is here. If you know you want to give your life to Jesus this morning, don't stay where you are. You want to encounter. As you are rising up on your feet, you want to encounter. You want to encounter this experience. You want this born again experience. You want to be born twice. Please, wherever you are, just raise up your hand. The altar is here. Raise up your hand. Raise up your hand. Wherever you are seated, and those under the sound of my voice, wherever you are, you know you have not this encounter. You know you have just been playing church. You know you have only been churchy. You know yourself. Don't hide yourself away. The Holy Spirit is here. The one that gives the mysterious encounter. The presence of God is here. Wherever you are, under the sound of my voice, I will tell you that the altar is here. It's the first session. We're only going to have two sessions of prayer because I'm time out here. And let's make it fast. This morning, wherever you are, whether you are standing up or sitting down, you know you want to give your life to Christ. You know that you want to have this encounter. You want to be born again. Please raise up your hand and begin to step out as you come. Don't stand there. Step out. The altar is here. Step out and let's pray together. Yes, where are you? Talk to God in prayers. Close your eyes and let's pray. Where are you? Don't let this moment pass you by. Don't let this hour pass you by. Even those of you that are connecting online, right here in your churches, make sure you indicate to give your life to Christ. Right here in your center, make sure you indicate to have this clinical experience. Yes, where are those people? The altar is open. Talk to God in prayers. If you want to give your life to Jesus, step out now. Oh, yes, step out now. Don't sit where you are. There is no shame about it. He said, if you are ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you before my Father on the day of judgment. Don't let him be ashamed of you. Don't let him spill you out of his mouth. Oh, yes, talk to God. If you are here and you are not sure of the experience, or you are here, you have been born again, but you are backslidden, this is Christmas morning. This is why Jesus Christ came, to save the lost, to save sinners. If you confess your sin, he will forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He's calling on you now. Yes, he's calling upon you now. Talk to God. As I take this song, we'll round up now. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for me and for you. Talk to God in prayer. All eyes closed, all eyes closed as bowed. Come home. Oh, yes. Come home. Come home. Oh, you who are weary, come home.
Earnestly,
tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, oh sinners, come home. Come home. One more time. Come home. Pastor Sule, please help me round up in prayers.
Yes, we are still praying. Whether you are here at the headquarters center or in all the other centers, and you have indicated giving your life to Christ, can you just put your hands on your heart and say this prayer after me? Say, my Father, my God, thank you for this timely visitation. This day, the 25th day of the 12th month, the year 2025, my name, let it be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. As I have surrendered myself to be born twice. Today, write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it shall be forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Father, because you have answered. In Jesus' name I pray. Can you just lift your hand? Father, I thank you for this wonderful session and for this visitation. I ask, O God, as many who have accepted you today as their Lord and personal Savior, write their names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Make them new creatures. As they have been born the second time, may they not die two times. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And amen. God bless you. You can take your seat.
Put your hands together this morning for the wonderful visitation from the Lord above. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you wouldn't mind, can you just rise and stretch your hands towards the ministers that have brought the fresh bread, uncommon bread to us this morning. Let's pray that the mercy of God will prevail upon their lives, their ministries will expand, they will know God's visitation. They will be first partakers of these wonderful words of life that they have ministered through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Father, we give you praise for our dear ministers who have done a wonderful work delivering your word without fear or favor. We ask, O God, that the husbandman that laboreth, which according to scriptures must be the first partaker, let this be their portion in every dimension in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much, and God bless you for also being good listeners. Amen. We have in our hands here a book that actually contains details of all the messages that you have heard. It all boils down on foundations of spiritual growth. Yesterday, when our Father in the Lord, the General Overseer, took us, he began from the physical and he made clear that what you eat will determine your outlook. And also, if you visit a dietitian who will prescribe your meal, your morning meal, your afternoon, and your evening meal, your health will regain remarkably. And spiritually too, because physical things are an illustration of the spiritual. We have, by the mercies of God, compressed what you are hearing in this conference. Who are thou? Power unlimited in prayer. Born twice. They are all compressed in this book. Very handy for you to read it twice, even in 2 days. So we have it here, and it goes for 1,500 naira. It's a must read, and it's a must give. So you need to get for your loved ones for this season of celebration. You can give someone a Christmas card, but beyond a Christmas card is a booklet of this magnitude that will remarkably transform the life of such a loved one. So please, we will ask the ushers to go around. You just must pick copies, 1-5, and you'll be glad you bought these books. And again, like I've said, you also extend a helping hand. It could be your Christmas gift to your neighbor when you get back home. Say, neighbor, all the food that we were fed with is contained in this little pamphlet. And you'll be glad you never missed that. So, ushers, please, can we bring out the books and let's have our members pick as many copies as they can? Can we have other ushers? Yes. Let's go. Just raise your hand. Raise your hand. And the number of copies. Thank you. Ushers,